Yet let us in us to fear thy blessed commandments, that rather than all kind desires we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing, such things as are well pleasing to thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our Lord, and unto thee do we send them glory, together with thy Father, who is from everlasting, and thy all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The Lord said, No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again he sent out other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready. But those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few who are chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Standing in the temple at the matins for the Synaxis of Joachim and Anna yesterday morning, my attention was caught by these verses in Ode 1 of the Canon. The most blessed Joachim and the glorious Anna, the authors of all creation, the authors of all creation, gave birth to the pure, immaculate, and all pure Theotokos. Shining with the splendors of the virtues, O divinely wise Anna and ever blessed Joachim, you were vouchsafed to give birth to the lamp which emits the noetic sun, who shone forth from her in the flesh. These verses, again, confirm for me that the principle of the world, its inner essence that makes it to be what it is, how it's put together, how it moves, is not accessible to science. It is accessible only to theology. And the knowledge of faith that comes only from the wisdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Most Holy Virgin Theotokos, and who it so happens is the one who created the world in the first place. For in these verses from the Matin service that I just set before you, can you hear how the mystery of the Virgin's birth from Joachim and Anna is the inner essence, the hidden shape of creation? The most blessed Joachim and the glorious Anna, the authors of all creation. Can you hear how the Theotokos, the birth of the Theotokos from Joachim and Anna, is the inner essence, the principle of the creation? In other words, it is the birth of the Theotokos from Joachim and Anna that gives creation its shape. The birth of the Theotokos is the stamp that gives creation its form. In the vision of creation that I see in these Matin verses, where it says, in the beginning, in Genesis, when it says, in the beginning, in Archi, in the beginning, I see that this in the beginning is but the veil that covers the mystery of the cross, the love of God in which the world was created. What that means is that God suffering on the cross was not plan B. It was not an afterthought. It was not a sudden desperate fix of an unexpected fall. It is to say that the cross is the very principle of creation. The cross is the very principle of creation. What's going on? I just said that the birth of the Theotokos is the principle of creation. But the cross, too, is the principle of creation. This is why it was necessary for the Lord to suffer and to rise again on the third day. But tell me, how could he suffer and die on the cross if the Theotokos had never been born? Without the birth of the Theotokos, there would be no cross. Knowing without predetermining that man would choose to turn away from him, but knowing beforehand also that the Most Holy Virgin would say yes, God established the world so that it should never be moved. That is to say, so that it should never be moved away from the purpose for which he created it. He established the world in the mystery of his cross, as it says in the book of Revelations, from the foundation of the world, so that the world could never be shaken in its foundation, because the foundation is God himself. God himself, the stone rejected by the builders that became the cornerstone of the temple, his own body, that he received from the Virgin. How could he have received his body from the Virgin if she had never been born? Rejected by the builders, he was taken outside the city and put to death on the cross. This was but the outer veil of an inner reality. And that inner reality is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That is to say, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the mystery of his death on the cross, descended into the human heart, our true self, where we are outside the city, or deep beyond all things. There in the tomb, he worked his salvation in the midst of the earth. And I dare say this is the very salvation in which he had made the world in the beginning, as we read in Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 15. This is the theological vision of the church in which I hear Joachim and Anna set before us in these verses from Matins as the authors of creation who give birth to the all-pure Theotokos. So when it says, in the beginning, God created heaven, which happens to be masculine, and earth, which happens to be feminine, in both the Hebrew and the Greek, as though a curtain has been drawn, I suddenly see God creating heaven and earth in a prophetic prefigurement of Joachim, the heavens, and Anna, the earth. And when it says, and God said, let there be light, I see the prophetic prefigurement of the birth of the third vocals from Joachim and Anna. Remember, she is the lamp that Joachim and Anna give birth to. She is the light that God created from the barrenness of Anna, the earth, let's say, that was without form or shape. She is the light that God brought forth from the sterility of Joachim, let's say, the darkness that covered the face of the deep. Of course, all of this in Genesis chapter 1 is as well a prefigurement of Christ God coming forth from the tomb in the glory of his holy resurrection. But do you see, all of these moments of creation are originating in the mystery of the cross, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the beginning, or the origin, the arche, as the cross is called in the matins for the feast, for the procession of the cross on August 1st. Dear faithful, I think this may be the mystery of the wedding feast in this morning's gospel, to which we are all called. Joachim, most rich, it says in the matins from yesterday, for the synaxis of Joachim and Anna. Joachim, most rich, the ancestor of God, now sets before us a spiritual banquet, for he has begotten the mother of God. The nativity of the Theotokos, the creation of the light, in which all of the creation came forth, is the birth of the bridal chamber of God. The nativity of the Theotokos, you understand, is the birth of the bridal chamber of God. This is what that light that was created on the very beginning of creation prefigured. The light of the Theotokos coming forth from Joachim and Anna. So the creation of heaven and earth, of Joachim and Anna, is but preparation for the creation of the light, the birth of the Theotokos. And the creation of the light, or the birth of the Theotokos, as the bridal chamber of God, is but preparation for the birth in the flesh of the uncreated light, the only begotten Son of God, who becomes the only begotten Son of the Virgin. We call her the root, the arche, the beginning of our life in the liturgical texts. She is therefore the fountain of life, of whom the psalmist speaks in a veiled manner. In Psalms 35, verse 9, he says, the light of creation, in the light of creation, in the light of the Theotokos, we see the uncreated light, the creator of all. For taking flesh from her, he becomes flesh that our eyes now can see, our hands even can touch, and our ears can hear. This is to say that the world was made in light. It was made in light for the purpose of bringing forth the uncreated light, God himself. The principle of the creation is the light of the Theotokos. She was made, the creation was made to be clothed with the uncreated light of God as with a garment. And that light of the creation was itself made to be the garment with which the uncreated light clothes himself. In other words, the world was made. It came into being in the bridal chamber of the wedding feast, in the mystery of the cross, on which the nativity of the Theotokos and the nativity of Christ, Christmas, open like royal doors. The cross is the sanctuary, the holy of holies of the human heart, the bridal chamber. Here in the bridal chamber of the human heart, we are deep beyond all things. Here we come upon who we truly are. Here we find our true selves in the love of God, the only begotten Son of God who gives himself to us as the bridegroom gives himself to his bride in the bridal chamber, in the profound intimacy of her heart. It struck me just this morning standing at the altar that to say that Christ was taken outside of the city and crucified and buried as an image of the heart which is outside the city, beyond all things. The city is where we live, is it not? We live in the city. We live in our human wisdom. We live in our human distractions, the world, you know, the pleasures, the enticements, the seductions of the world. We live in them. We give ourselves to them. That's where we live. But when the Lord was taken outside the city, that does not mean that he was taken outside of us. We live in the city, but if you will, where are we? I mean, where do we exist? Where are we really? Are we not in the tomb? Isn't that where we really are? Isn't that where we really exist? When we're taken outside of the city, we're taken to the tomb, to the grave. That's where our existence really is. And so when the Lord was taken outside of the city, crucified and buried in the tomb, he was laid in that place where we really are, in our heart, which St. Paul calls a tomb, because it is, because we are dead in our, we're dead in our sins and trespasses. Dear faith of the Theotokos, the light of creation, who comes forth out of the darkness of the heavens and the formlessness of the earth, who comes forth out of the barrenness of Joachim and Anna, she is the light who brings forth the uncreated light. She is the inheritance or the promised land, as we say in the Akathist to the Theotokos. And she's found in the desert. She's found in the barrenness of Joachim and Anna. And she brings forth the rose, Christ God, the uncreated light, who makes the desert to blossom like a rose, as Isaiah the prophet foretold. I ask you to see that the light, the promised land, the bridal chamber, the deep mystery of our heart, our true self, where we find the uncreated light, the uncreated rose, Christ, our true inheritance, as the prophet Ezekiel say. I ask you to see that he is found in you. But he is found not in where you live in the city. He's not found in the distractions of the city. He's found in the desert of your soul. Note that Joachim and Anna, in their barrenness, were a desert. But notice that they took their refuge from their grief in God. They came to the wedding feast, in other words. They came to the wedding feast. They sought their refuge in the wedding feast, in the mystery of the bridal chamber of the Lord's cross and tomb. And he raised them up in the mystery of his resurrection and made them authors of creation. Authors of creation. Dear faithful, where do we seek refuge from our sorrows? Where do we seek our escape from all the troubles of our life? Where do we go? Where do we go? Where do you go for comfort? Where do you go for entertainment? When nobody's looking, where do you go to ease the anxiety, the fear? Where do you go? How many times do we hear in the church, God is our refuge? But how many of us take refuge in the movies, the internet, the phone apps, this, that, whatever, anything but God?
We're living in Egypt, and we will not go out into the desert. To find the refuge of light who brings forth the light, the Theotokos who brings forth Christ our God. To come to the wedding feast, we must embark on the inner exodus of the gospel. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross in the ascetic disciplines of the church. Prayer, fasting, the giving of alms. Prayer, putting ourselves in the presence of God. Put yourself in the presence of God. You find that you can't. Too many distractions. We have to fight to put ourselves in the presence of God, and then to keep ourselves in the presence of God. We have to fight our desire to go back to Egypt. It's a fight. That's what the Lord means when he says the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence. You don't just waltz into the kingdom of heaven. You have to fight yourself, your own desire to go back to Egypt. And that's what it means to fast. It means to leave the city. It means to come out into the desert and just take our refuge in God and not in the things of the world, both physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual. We give alms. We practice the mercy of God. We fight ourselves to forgive as we have been forgiven. We fight ourselves to show mercy as we desire the Lord to show mercy on us. That's the giving of alms. We must deny ourselves. We must take up our cross in these ascetic disciplines of the church, prayer, fasting, the giving of alms. And that's how we follow Christ into the desert of our soul and to the wedding feast in the bridal chamber of our heart. We must face ourselves, or rather, we must face God in our soul. Brothers and sisters, it's a new year. In the joy of the nativity of the Theotokos proclaims to the whole universe, this is a good time for us to take up the resolution that we will take up our cross and fight. Fight to take our refuge not in movies, not in the internet, not in the phone app, not in this, not in that, but we will fight to take our refuge in the Lord, the uncreated light, born of the created light of the Theotokos, in the bridal chamber of our heart. Amen. Most holy Theotokos, save us. The joy of the feast be with you. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.